All righty. Well, it's a joy to be here, I'm telling you. Amen. I certainly enjoyed myself today. Appreciate all the great preaching. I really do wish, I'm not trying to sound humble, I really do wish you could have heard the preaching we heard today. I know a lot of you have to work and couldn't be here, but from the very start this morning, I wish you could hear those messages instead of mine. Amen. I'm kind of glad you didn't hear those messages. You wouldn't know what a dud this is. Amen. But it's a joy to be here. I'm telling you. Appreciate Brother Robert. I do really love Brother Robert Jarvis, and he's got just a good godly family. Amen. And y'all got such a great church. I'm telling you, every time I come up here, I'm just blessed by the appearance of this place and how God's blessed here. I remember many, many years ago, I probably told this every time I've been here, I used to come and when Brother Cole was the pastor of the church. And I was telling the brother this morning, I remember first time I didn't preach out much then. I think I maybe preached in a few fellowships. I didn't do a lot of preaching out. So it's been a long time ago. And I remember Brother Cole called me up. I don't leave my church a lot on Sunday, but he called me up one time and he said, Brother Willis, you preached a message somewhere. And this is the first time this ever happened to me. He said, you preached a message somewhere. I want you to come on Sunday night and preach that in our church. And I'd never had that happen before. Amen. Sure made it a lot easier on me. Brother Robert just called me up and said, I heard you preach this somewhere. Would you come preach it here? That'd make it a lot easier on me. Amen. But normally they don't do that. They let you sweat it out. Amen. I really didn't have a lot of, a lot of problem discussing. I mean, with the Lord, what I was going to preach on tonight. I felt like when Brother Robert called me, immediately the Lord kind of told me what to preach on. And of course, I've stuck with that for tonight. Amen. Again, I get confused sometimes in these Jubilee meetings, what we're supposed to be preaching on. You know, you feel like some of you ought to preach on something Jubilee type, amen. But yet, as I listen to y'all preach this morning, evidently y'all don't know either, amen. So, I've had my hide skin and everything else today, amen. Thought I was supposed to come get encouraged, amen. Y'all done chewed me up and spit me out, stomped on me and everything else. So, now it's my turn to get y'all, amen. Well, it's a joy to be here, I'm telling you. I appreciate the good food, the good accommodations, amen. They put me in a room over there. I've never been in a room coming up here like the one y'all put me in last night. It's got a big old deep tub in there, amen. Got all kind of outlets in it, amen. And on the walls got Jaguar. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with it, amen. But, right. Turn to John chapter number 6. Y'all didn't get that joke, amen. John chapter number 6, amen. The Lord is good to us, isn't he? Man, we got people sitting in the balcony tonight, I'm telling you. I got up here, ain't no parking lot spaces left. And cars cross the road. Amen, that's tremendous, isn't it? Amen. All right, John chapter 6, if you'll stand with me tonight. John chapter number 6, let's stand and we'll read this text tonight, amen. John chapter number 6. Thank y'all for that great preaching. I mean, tremendous. I don't honestly know where you would go anywhere and hear any greater preaching than we've heard today. Just absolutely tremendous. Amen. All right, John chapter number 6, verse number, and then that good singing tonight. Man, thank y'all, Brother Robbie. That was a blessing. Y'all fellas, tremendous. I really, I could have sang, y'all could have sang 20 more songs as far as I'm concerned. I really mean that. I know y'all ain't going to like this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I got saved at a singing. I preach against that. Amen. I preach against that, but I'm telling you how I got saved. I got saved at a singing. Now, I know y'all probably think I ain't saved, but I'm telling you, I got saved at a singing. My wife said they got some people singing, and I want you to go. And I was lost. But music's always had a great influence on me, and especially the world. I was in the world of music, the rock and roll, and Elvis Presley, and Chuck Berry, and all them fellas. Amen. And my wife said, I want you to go to me to sing. And I said, I didn't have a problem with that. But I didn't know there was going to be no preaching. And they didn't actually per se get behind a pulpit and preach, but they preached between those songs. Amen. And so I don't recommend you go to singings, just singings, but singing got me there. She'd have told me, I want you to go with me to preaching, I wouldn't have went. I think I shouldn't have said that. But she was praying for me, my mama was praying for me, and I guess back in that day, as much knowledge as we had, they got me to that singing, and God got a hold of me. Amen. I just love singing. Amen. Amen. The Lord loves singing. Amen. But that was great singing tonight. All right, John chapter 6, amen. I got to get, I'm uptight, I got to get unnerved, amen. Verse number 66. John 6, verse 66. From that time, many of the disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. He spake this unto Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Now, I want to take my thought from verse 69 tonight. The Bible said, we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, I want to preach on this thought tonight. Here's what Peter said. He said, Lord, we believe and we are sure that you are the Son of God. But Peter was answering for all 12. Peter said, we believe. He's talking about the rest of the disciples. He said, we believe. Not only we believe, we're sure you're the Son of God. But I want to tell you, all 12 wasn't. There was one in the crowd that didn't believe that. And I want to use that thought tonight to preach on this, living with a secret. Living with a secret. Let's pray. Well, I pray you'd help me tonight, Lord. I sure need your help, Lord. I've done this a few times down through, Lord, the years, but I've never, Lord, been able to do it in my energy or power or strength, and I'm keenly aware I can't do it tonight. And so, Lord, I really call upon you to help me. Again, as already been said today, I'm not here to entertain, put on some performance, but I really, God, pray you'll take the message tonight and use it. And Lord, touch our hearts, and Lord, draw us closer to you, and work with this message in our heart, what's needed here tonight. God, we know that you're a great God and you're able to do exceedingly great and abundantly above what we can ask or think. And that is our prayer tonight, Lord, for this service. Touch some heart, meet some need, and Lord, do your will in every life tonight. Maybe even somebody needs to be saved tonight. Lord, you know all about that. And so I feel like I'm confident this is what you have me preach on. So help me, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. What Peter was saying was, answering for, as I said, he was answering for all the disciples. And he was saying, Lord, we believe, we're sure that thou art the Son of God. But as I said, there was one in the group that did not believe that. Now, only the Lord knew that. Only the Lord knew that there was one in the group that wasn't real. And so the thought was that the Lord was living with a secret. He knew in that group who was real and who wasn't real. Amen. As I study the Gospel of John, I find that John mentions Judas more than any other Gospel writer. As a matter of fact, I think if I'm correct, Judas is mentioned 9 times in the Gospel of John. Amen. Then also in the Epistle of John, John writing, he made this statement in chapter 2, verse 19. He said, they went out from us, but they were never of us. I wouldn't be surprised when John wrote that he wasn't thinking about Judas. He said, there's a crowd that went out from us, but they never were of us. Amen. And I don't have to preach tonight to convince us whether Judas was ever saved and lost. And we know that he was never saved. Amen. He was never a child of God. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of people leave our churches simply because, like Judas, they weren't born right. Not only they weren't born right, they don't believe right. Not only that, they don't behave right. And so a lot of people leave our churches tonight, has been preached today, simply because they never have been saved. And so John is writing here, and he's saying that, we believe, we're sure that thou art the Son of God. But I'm simply saying in that crowd, not everybody was saved. But only Jesus knew. The other disciples didn't know. And I want to talk about that tonight. Not so much Judas, but I want to use that principle to tell us some things tonight about we have to live with a secret. Amen and amen. Now, Jesus knew from the foundation of the world. But the principle is, I want to use tonight the thought that Jesus knew for those 3 years that Judas wasn't real. Are you listening to me? Now, here's my point. He didn't tell anybody. He didn't go to tell Brother John, I'm going to tell you something now. Judas ain't right. He kept that to himself for approximately 3 years. He didn't tell anybody. In other words, he didn't gossip about it. He didn't go around telling all the disciples, y'all better watch out for Judas. I think we'll get to that. There was some purpose there. Was a plan in that, amen, that he did not expose him to the other disciples. So he wasn't gossiping about it. Now, if we knew it, we'd probably gossip about it. We'd probably went to the brother so-and-so in the church and said, I want to tell you, Judas ain't right. Matter of fact, I don't believe he's saved. And so we'd probably gossip about it a little bit. Somebody wrote this, gossip is something that goes in one ear and comes out your mouth. The gospel's favorite song is, I love to tell the story. Amen. Someone said a gospel is like an old shoe. His tongue never stays in place. Is anybody listening? Conversation is an exercise of the mind. Gossip is an exercise of the tongue. Amen. Gossip has run down more people than automobiles and trains. When you ask someone to keep a secret, you're asking them to do something you don't do. Is anybody listening? I want to tell you a secret now. Don't you tell nobody. And you done told 10 people. Y'all help me. Y'all help me, church. Somebody said gossip is like coffee. Normally it's handed you without grounds. They know all the details, but they have no facts. Are you listening? Somebody said, and I thought this was a good description of gossip, destructive gossip is giving detrimental information to any person who is not directly part of the problem or the solution to the problem. You know, I said this in my church, and I was preaching about, you know, talking about the church, and I know this is very shallow, but one night it dawned on me, they probably are talking about the church. They probably are saying some things that's going on in the church. They probably are even discussing some things in the church that are not right. And I don't know that that's completely wrong. But it's when you do it to tear it down. But if you're doing it, hey, constructive criticism is something to help the problem. And so you may be talking about the problem, but you're not gossiping about it. Amen. I thought that was pretty good. That's pretty good, Reb. Amen. Amen. Is anybody listening? Hey, I'm simply saying to us, Jesus did not go around telling everybody about what was going on in the church. He lived with something that nobody else knew. Are you listening? Somebody said the gospel is to say behind one's back what you wouldn't say to their face. Somebody said flattery is to say to one's face what you wouldn't say behind their back. Y'all help me, amen. Hey, we are warned repeatedly in the Bible about false people. I mean, hey, over in Moses, he had to deal with the false musicians. I mean, magicians. Amen. Believe me, there's a lot of false musicians. Hey, he had to deal with the mixed multitude. I mean, repeatedly in the Bible, we are warned that people that assemble with God's crowd are false. That's not a good, I can tell right now this ain't a Jubilee message. But we are warned repeatedly in the Bible that you go deal with people in the congregation that are false. Now I'm leading out to some of y'all, pray for me, amen. In the gospel, he talks about the tares and the wheat. Hey, in the epistles, he talks about the apostasy that is to come. There is going to be false people in our churches. I believe the devil plants some of them there, amen. So we're going to deal with falseness, amen. And I hope I can bring that out in a better way in a little bit, amen. But we're going to deal. The Bible is a book about trouble. I tell you what, when we read the Bible, practically every epistle in the Bible was written to deal with a problem. Amen and amen. And so Paul writes to address problems that are in the church. But here's what the Bible does. The Bible is written to show us how to deal with those problems. Amen and amen. Hey, how some's going to depart. Our text says tonight, some's going to depart. Verse 66, for the time from that time, many of the disciples went back and walked with him no more. Many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. You go deal with people in the church that are going to depart. I don't care how good a preacher you are. Jesus was the prince of all preachers. And a crowd departed from him. Amen. Matter of fact, Jesus preached away his biggest crowds. Amen and amen. Hey, you're going to deal with people that depart. You're going to deal with people that deceive you. I'm going to tell you, those disciples were deceived. Peter was deceived. He said, Lord, all of us here, we believe that you are the Son of God. Matter of fact, we're sure about it. But Peter didn't know about Judas. Only the Lord knew about Judas. Amen. We're going to deal with people that are demonic. Jesus said unto him, I've chosen you 12. One of you is a devil. You can believe that, church. If I know anything about my Bible, and I don't know much about it, most of you preachers, but I'm telling you, we're in the last days. We're going to deal with people in the church that are demonic. And I ain't a charismatic, but I'm telling you, friend, we're dealing with that today. I've dealt with some in my church. I asked, and I don't say this lightly. I don't use this term lightly. I really don't. I mean, I'm very careful to say that man's full of the devil. I'm very careful to say, I believe that man's demonic. I don't use that flippantly. People can be very wicked and not be demonic. But we're dealing today, and I've dealt with a few in my ministry, that are absolutely demon possessed. Amen. I'm going to tell you, they got a church. This is Jesus' church. Are you listening? And in Jesus' church, he's got a fella, one of his fellas is a devil. Is anybody listening? Amen and amen. Notice this, we're seeing that today. And I don't want to go into a lot of detail on that, I really don't. But we're seeing leading people in position-wise in our churches today that act like the devil. I mean, we're hearing about preachers that molest children. Are y'all listening? We're hearing about people today, or even preachers today, that are performing unnatural acts on children. We're hearing about people today. I got a call some maybe a year or two ago from a preacher friend of mine. I had preached up north, and he called me up when I got back home. And I make a long story short, he said that preacher turned out to be a sodomite. Had a flourishing ministry, had a Bible institute, had a good family. And they found out on the internet that he was involved in sodomite activity. We're dealing with it today. The Bible warns us we're going to be dealing with it. Amen. But in all of that, Jesus didn't tell nobody. For 3 years, he lived with something that he knew that nobody else knew. Amen and amen. And I'll tell you, Judas was a man of position. He was the treasurer. Amen. He was a man of position. Hey, I'll tell you something else about Judas. He's a preacher. I believe he was a preacher. Are you listening? Hey, not only was he a man of position, he was a man that was powerful. He cast out demons. He was a man that was popular. They said, give him the money. They voted for Judas to be the treasurer. Are y'all listening? I tell you now, when you say, we want to give it the money, let this man keep the money, you got some confidence in him. Amen and amen. So he was a man that had a lot of power, a lot of influence. He was a man that was a praiser. His name is Judas, derived from Judah, which means praise. He was a man who went to church. When the preacher preached, he'd say, amen, preacher. He'd say, praise the Lord, when they sing. And he had that crowd fooled. I tell you, all them disciples, Peter said, we're sure. He's talking for the rest of the 12. We're sure you're the Son of God. We believe you're the Son of God. He was talking to Judas. But Jesus over there thinking, come on, preachers, ain't y'all ever been there? Ain't y'all ever heard them brag on people? Come on now, y'all. Ain't y'all ever heard church people brag on people and you couldn't say nothing and you knew better? They didn't know it, but you knew it and you couldn't tell them. I tell you, Jesus didn't expose, I don't want to get ahead of my message, but Jesus didn't expose him to the end. And I don't want to get ahead of them, that's, but I guess I will. He didn't do that because they couldn't have used it. They couldn't have took it in. Hey, if there's somebody in your church that's keeping the money to everybody, well, y'all help me. If there's somebody in your church that's praising God and shouting on the preaching and shouting on the singing and they voted to keep the money and he's a man of a personality and you say, that man there's a devil. They'd look at you and say, you crazy. Amen and amen. Now, I'm getting all this. This is not my message. This is not my message. But I'm telling you, the Lord knew and nobody else knew. And he lived with it and he didn't tell nobody. Amen. He lived with it every day for 3 years. Every day the Lord went out, he knew that Judas was out to get him. But he didn't tell nobody. Now here's my message. How do you live with a secret? How do you live when you know that there's somebody in the congregation like Judas? And you don't tell nobody. How do you live with that? Number one, real simply, you can't let it dominate you. Are you listening? You can't let it dominate you. Life's got to go on. Hey, you got people in your church that you as the pastor, and even some people in the church, maybe the pastor don't know, and you know. I found out in my church that people knew some things I didn't know and didn't tell me. Amen. But when it all got exposed, hey, they come told me. They had a secret they didn't tell. And I can to some degree appreciate that. Amen and amen. I'm simply saying to us tonight, hey, you can't let it dominate. What I'm saying is, hey, when that gets on your mind, if you are careful, that's all you live. That's all you sleep. That's all you do. I think about this one that's going to sin or get me. You can't let it dominate you. Amen. Amen and amen. Well, I say that to say this. Jesus didn't stop his ministry. He went on and healed people. Amen. He went on and touched the lame. Amen. He restored sight to the blind. I'll tell you what Jesus did. He even got down and washed that man's feet. He got his towel. He got his basin. And he washed Judas's feet, knowing that he was a devil. If you let it dominate you, you'd be like the man that had to quit watching football. Every time they went into a huddle, he thought they was talking about him. I'm telling you that's right. Is anybody listening? Amen. Hey, John Mark forsook Paul, but Paul didn't quit. He went on. Amen. Demons forsook Paul, but he didn't quit. He went on. I'm going to tell you what these press crowd will do. They'll make you stop. They'll make you quit. They'll make you always think about them. Wonder what they're doing now. Wonder how they're planning on getting me now. Wonder what kind of sin they're in now. Amen. I'm simply saying to us, hey, you cannot let it dominate you. Judas betrayed the Son of God, but the Son of God went on to Calvary. Amen. He accomplished the plan that he came for. You can't let this crowd stop you from accomplishing what God's called you to do. Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody been saved any length of time? You know you got to deal with this. The Bible warns you over and over and over again. And we all know, I'm not talking about pastors, I'm talking about God's people. You all know that you got people in your life, sometime down through back through the years, or even maybe right now, you're dealing with somebody, you know they're in sin. But you ain't told nobody. Matter of fact, if you even thought about it, you said, I better not tell that, because they ain't going to believe me. I'm dealing with a situation. I am in the worst trial in my life I've been in 30 years. I'm not exaggerating one bit. I'm in a situation right now, and I'm telling you, it's in my church. And I'm telling you the truth, it is the worst trial I've ever been in 30 years. No doubt in my mind, that's why I'm preaching tonight. I hope that ain't wrong, Brother Robert. But I tell you, I found out people can go to church for 30 years. Are you listening? I just preached the funeral of a lady in my church. Matter of fact, when I went to St. Stephen, I preached the funeral yesterday. When I went to St. Stephen, this family took me in. I preached on the great lady down there, the Shunammite lady. When I went to St. Stephen's, they took me in. They fed me. They did everything for me. They moved out of their house, put me in their house. They built a study for me. I mean, just a perfect example of what that woman did for the man of God. And that woman cooked. She run the kitchen. She was in the choir. She sang specials. She cleaned the church. She did it all for 30 years. And right about a year ago, she come to my wife. God met with us in a meeting one night. I'm telling you, the power of God came down in our church. And she come to my wife and said, Sister Lenore, I'm lost. And Lenore said, Sister Peggy, you sure? She said, Sister Lenore, I'm lost. And my wife took it to the prayer room and questioned again. She said, I'm lost. I need to be saved. And I preached her funeral yesterday to her family that if she had not did that, I'd have still preached in heaven. Because she lived, amen, a life of serving God. Loss. But I want to tell you something about it. Listen to me now. Me and my wife said from time to time, not judgmental, something ain't right with her. Everybody in our church, y'all listen, everybody in our church always bragged on Sister Pig. If I'd have told them some thoughts or some secrets that I knew, they'd all look at me and said, you judge it. But me and my wife knew some things wasn't right. But we couldn't tell nobody. Jesus is living with a secret that nobody else knows. Amen. Well, I wish we could shout tonight, but I'm telling you, this is what God put on my heart. I'm simply saying, hey, you cannot let it dominate you. You can't let it dominate your life. You got to go on. You got to live for God. You got to do what you're supposed to do. On the other hand, you can't deny it. Are you listening? You live in denial. Now, I tell you, I'll be honest with you, I'm good at that. Call me what you want. I hear so-and-so God saying, I said, man, I ain't believing that. I can't believe that. I'm talking about somebody that has a life and a testimony, and it looks right outwardly, and then you hear that they're in sin. I just say, I can't believe that, man. But I'll tell you what, when the truth is out, you can't deny it. You can't stick your head in the sand and say this ain't so. Amen and amen. Amen. I'm just going to pray. I've been in situations where mates were unfaithful to each other. 30 years of pattern. I ain't passed as long as some of y'all, but we've all dealt with it to some degree. Mates unfaithful to each other, and the one mate will live in denial. Amen. And knowing all the time, it basically, the evidence has been presented, but they don't deny it because they live in denial. You can't deny it. You can't let it dominate you, but you can't deny it. Amen and amen. Are y'all listening? Amen, amen. Hey, it's real. It's a fact. It's real. This man was out against the Son of God, and the Son of God knew it, but nobody else knew it. Amen. So we sometimes try to deny it, but you gotta face it. Amen. You cannot pretend it doesn't exist. That sounds like a contradiction. Don't let it dominate you. Don't let it deny it. But you can't deny it. I'll tell you what it does. It gives us provides an opportunity to show some things. It provides an opportunity to show His excellency. Are you listening? Christ lived with Him for 3 years. Now, I'm going to tell you what. Knowing what the Son of God knew, now He perfectly knew. Sometimes we pretty much know, but He perfectly knew that He was a devil. And I want to give people the benefit of the doubt. You know, when they stab me in the back, I want to see if they're going to hang around to pull it out. Is anybody listening? Hey, the Son of God, it showed how excellent He was that He put up with this man for 3 years. He could have run him off. Yeah, man. Hey, I'll tell you what. It showed how close you can be to Christ and be lost. Man, if I understand this, Judas kissed the door to heaven and went to hell. And one preacher said, not only did he kiss the door to heaven, he kissed the blood of the Son of God and went to hell. Amen. It shows how impressive you can be with outwardly and be lost. Judas had it all going for him outwardly. But Jesus knew what nobody else knew. He was living with a secret. It shows this, that we all probably got one. What, preacher? It shows this, that we've all probably got one in our church. But I'm not going to church every time I go to church and say, thinking about that. I'm not. I'm not going to deny it. Matter of fact, I'm telling you this tonight. 30 years of pastoring, I keep saying that. That don't mean that's not a long time. Well, I guess it is. When I started pastoring, I had hair. It's been many hairs ago. Amen. It tells me this, that the Son of God's got one in His church, and He didn't have but 12. How many you got? Are you listening? Hey, I tell you, Jesus, church, he had deniers. He had devils. He had doubters. He had Thomas. I'm talking about a perfect preacher. He had deniers. Amen. He had doubters. He had devils. Hey, he only had 12. How many you got? And yet he pastored them, and he pastored him, and he never told nobody. He's a great preacher. He better than I was. I'd probably tell somebody. Matter of fact, I have told somebody. Y'all help me. Y'all help me. Amen. My point is, hey, I'm simply saying, hey, you can't live in denial, but it does give us an opportunity to show some things in our life. Hey, you better don't deny them gut feelings. You ever had something come to you, confront you, situation, person, and your gut feeling is, there's something wrong there. But you can't put your finger on it. I don't want y'all to think less of my wife. When I was in Calvary Baptist Church in Waldorf, and our church run about 140, we had a Christian day school run about 400. On visitation, we'd have anywhere from 20 to 25 men in the parking lot on visitation on Thursday night. I mean, we had a thriving church. I mean, it was a small church, I guess, 140 people, but it was 140 strong. And one Sunday, a lady walked in our church, and my wife punched me, and I don't want y'all to think less of my wife now. My wife punched me. She said, I can't explain this, but that's trouble. And she so thought it that she said, tell you what we're going to do. Let's go buy them some groceries. We went and bought them groceries. We had them over to the house to eat. We bought them a washing machine. We bought them a dryer. And she was trying to fight back this feeling that that woman is going to cause trouble. Are y'all listening? She said, I can't help it. Talking to me, she said, I can't help it. I feel, I'm impressed that that woman is here to cause trouble. She said, but I'm going to fight that back. We're going to take them out to eat. We're going to buy them food. We're going to do everything we can because I got to alleviate myself of maybe thinking wrong.
That's good.
Could I tell you, when it was all said and done, 140 strong, 400 Christian school, she tore it all to pieces. Life Calvary Baptist Church is no longer in existence. She got the preacher. Got him in a motel, found him in a motel room. What I'm telling you, them gut feelings. I tell you what my wife tells me anymore. She said, I don't like them, but I don't shake them off like I used to. I tell you, the Holy Ghost will tell you things sometime. Amen. The Holy Ghost, you may not know the details. You may not know it all, but the Holy Ghost say, something about that ain't right. Call me judging. Call me what you want to. I do everything I can to get rid of it. But I'm telling you, when the Holy Ghost nudges you and tells you something ain't right, you better listen to Him. He knows more than you know. Amen and amen. I'm telling you what, I know your pastor, amen, and I know most of you men of God, and I'm telling you, when that man of God gets up and says, you better be careful, you better be careful. I found this out in churches. That's the only way you can pass the church. People got to trust you. If the church don't trust you, your pastoring is over. You can't explain everything. They're going to have to trust you sometime that I know what I'm talking about. Even when it don't look that way, you better trust the pastor that he knows something. Jesus warned them. He said right there, he said, I'm going to tell you something, boys. One is a devil. It's a devil. He didn't go into no details. He just said, I'm telling you, there's a devil in here. You say, dear God, we do that in the church. We'll have everybody looking. I think Jesus put him on guard. Boys, y'all better get on guard now. I'm telling you, there's a devil in the church. Amen. He didn't explain it. He didn't go no details about it. He did a little bit later. Are you listening? Amen and amen. Don't rule out them gut feelings. Amen. Hey, living with a secret. Hey, you can't let it dominate. You can't deny it. Now, here's what the point I like. You must dwell on the other 11. Hey, John mentions Judas 9 times, but he mentions Peter 34 times. Hallelujah. Hey, one Judas will cause you to forget 34 Peters. Woo! That's good preaching, Ray. I'm telling you, one Judas will get your eyes off of 34 Peters. Amen. You will sleep and eat and get up and think all day about Judas when you ought to be thinking about 34 Peters. Hallelujah to God. I tell you, the first 15 years of my ministry, on Wednesday night, I preached against goats. 34 years, I preached on them goats ain't here. It wasn't a goat there. All the goats was home. Is anybody listening? And the poor old sheep was sitting out there starving to death while I'm killing goats and ain't no goats there. It dawned on me one day, why don't you feed the sheep instead of killing goats that ain't there? Yeah, man, I know y'all ain't never had that problem. There, God on Wednesday night, that crowd ain't here. They ain't saved. And you preach on that crowd for 30 minutes on Wednesday night, and they ain't heard a word you said. And they sure ain't going to get the CD. And the poor sheep's out there starving to death. Amen. I'm telling you, one Judas will make you forget 34 Peters. And Thomas and Johns and Andrews, amen. I tell you, thank God for the Smiths and the Schillinglaws and the Huss and the Cronts and the Mitchums and the Moody's. Y'all want me to go on and the Gigglemans and the Hoffs and the Deals. And thank God for that crowd. One Judas ain't going to get my mind off them. Are you listening? My daughter come to me one time, this was about a year or two ago. My daughter come to me and she said, Daddy, you are always talking about the people that are not here. I said, what's your job in the church? She said, I'm the pianist. I said, you play the piano, I'll do the pastor. Is anybody listening? Daddy, you just need to thank God for those that are there. Quit talking about those that are not there. I said, play the piano. Y'all know the old saying, here's how we go to church. Well, where two or three are gathered, he's in the midst. What you saying? There ain't nobody there. Is anybody listening? Matter of fact, that where two or three are together, you know that deals with a problem. That don't deal. That's talking about a problem. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered on a problem, I'll come meet with you. And I know I preached that in another message, but hey, if he'd come for two or three on a problem, you reckon he'd come for four or five if we'd praise him? Hey, if he'll show up with two or three to settle a problem, I'm so glad. No, he'd rather come for us than praising him. Praise God. My point is simply this. Hey, you can't deny it. Amen. Don't let it dominate you and dwell on the other good ones. Hallelujah. I'll be honest with you. I'm going to have to do that right now. I've got a situation. I ain't crying. I am crying. I've done crying. I ain't got no more tears left. But I've been dealing over the last month with a situation that I'm telling you the truth that's dominated my life. Thousands of times this went over in my mind. And went over, how stupid could you? I know you can't be that stupid. I know you can't sin like that with all that's at stake. No way could you do that. And yet it's true. It's reality. He did. And now it's in my church. And now I got to deal with it in the church. Already had to meet with the men in the church to deal with it. First of all, it was accusations. I went to the men. It's accusations. A week later, I found out the accusation. Now it's true. I had to take the men back together. I'm saying, now, it's not accusations anymore. It's truth. Sir, don't come back to our church till we deal with it. Amen. You cannot come back on our premises till we deal with it. Are you listening? If you'd have told me this, I'm telling you, if you told me this 6 months, 3 months ago, I'd have said you're crazy. I'll tell you what, I hope it don't sound right. I don't want you to think I'm pitying. I'm telling you, for the last 3 years, the devil has leveled his gun for the Willis family. He tried to tear my son and his daughter up, his wife up. Then he got after me and my wife with a Jezebel in the church. Then he got after my daughter and her husband. I mean, he leveled his guns. Are you listening? The devil is out. He didn't tell you, buddy. He knows his time is short. I really believe that I ain't nobody for the match for the devil. I mean, he probably don't even know who I am. But I believe the forces of evil have come into Willis family and life out of the church. They're trying to destroy it. I heard Dr. Sider say this in the closing ministry. He said, as you get older, the trials get harder. I'll tell you, I'm experiencing that. And I know a lot worse could happen. And I'm telling you, I have seen in the last 3 years the devil having an all-out attack against Life Baptist Church. Amen and amen. My point is simply this. Hey, you must be warned of the danger. Look in verse 70. I'm almost through. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is the devil. Now notice what? He's warning them now. Hey, he let it slide for 3 years. But now, hey, he's not far from Calvary. And now he's saying to them, he said, one in this crowd is the devil. He's telling them of the danger. You see, Peter got fooled. I believe the rest of the disciples got fooled. Hey, that's why, hey, he's been living with a secret. But now he's making it open. Notice in Matthew 26, turn with me real quick. Matthew 26, amen. Matthew 26, look in verse number 26, 21. And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were, and they that were exceeding sorrowful began, every one of them, to say unto them, Lord, is it I? Let me drop down to verse number 25. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? Now, buddy, I'm telling you, that's the devil right there. He knows who what he is. And yet, he is saying, like the rest of the disciples, is it I? I remember one time we had a man in the church, not my church, but the church I come out of. He was stealing money. Me and him counted the money on Sunday. And the report come to the preacher that money was disappearing. I said, this ain't a Judas case. I mean, I live the Judas case in this. And the report come to the preacher and us that money was disappearing. And so we worked, that kept happening for about a month, and we didn't know where the money was going. And one Sunday, me and him was counting money. And I dropped my pen on the floor, and when I dropped my pen on the floor, I reached over to get it. When I come up, he was shoving the money in his pocket. And he was about 6'6", weighed about 250 pounds, and it was just me and him in the office. And I jumped up and said, hey, big, I didn't say nothing. But I did go to the preacher. I said, preacher, I think I know who the man is who's taking the money. He said, oh, yeah? I said, yeah. But it'd be best if you not tell him I said so. This is the truth. This sounds like a Phil Kidd story, but I'll tell you this is the truth. So what we did, we set him up. We set him up. And we put some money in the office. In that little place where we counted, and we said between church and Sunday school, if it's gone, we're going to catch him. And sure enough, we did. And so the preacher went to him and said, had already got the men together and said, if we catch him, we're having a meeting right after church. And so Brother Joe, he got the money. The word got out, we're having a meeting right after church. And this is the truthful God. And we told him, and I won't call him, I just call him Johnny. So we walking back, we told Johnny, said, Johnny, we got a meeting after church. He said, what's it about? I said, somebody's taking money out of church. He said, really? I said, yeah, and we're going in this meeting, and the preacher's going to tell who it is. He said, well, who is it? I said, he's going to tell us in the meeting. This is the truth, Brother Robert. This is the truth. Hey, so we went in the meeting, and the preacher said, we got somebody stealing money out of the church. And the men said, who is it? And that rascal said, well, who is it, preacher? And the preacher looked at him and said, it's you. And he broke down and started crying. Oh, my. Are you listening? And asked us to forgive him. Are you listening? But what I didn't know till after that is they done caught him in adultery in the church before I got there. And they done caught him in another situation before I got there. And I said to the preacher, hey, I can forgive him, but 3 strikes and he's out. Amen and amen. My point is simply this. Jesus is living with a secret, but now he's revealing. He's telling that 12 in the church, that, hey, there's a devil in the room. See, Jesus was getting them ready for the secret. He didn't tell them who it was. Hey, Judas's presence always created doubt. You just study John 13, 22. The Bible said there that they doubted because Judas was in the room. He was always creating doubt and confusion and contention. Are you listening? Amen. He didn't give the details, but he did warn of the danger. Hey, he was guarding the sheep. Notice this, you can be sure when it happens, it's of the devil. The Bible said in John 13, verse 2, the Bible said the devil entered into him. You know what I thought about that, Brother Barry? I thought any man that in a position that he had, as popular as he was, and had the power he had, and was a praiser, that would do what he did, is a devil. I remember I was preaching for a preacher some few years ago, and one night we got invited over for supper. And at the supper, I mean, the preachers was there, and he said, I'm going to pray myself. And he prayed, he said, oh, Heavenly Father, I don't know all he said, but this was the gist. Oh, Heavenly Father, that these men of God would grace my home and eat at my table. I thank you, dear God. And he went on with that prayer. And then we eat supper and we went to church. And after church, he said, there was food left over, amen. He said, I want y'all to come back to my house and eat after church. And we went back to his house. After the meeting, the preacher came to me and said, I got a devil in the church. I said, really? He said, yeah. And I didn't say nothing. He said, you know who it is? I said, not really. He said, it's the man we eat supper with. I said, wait a minute now, preacher. Wait a minute now. You mean the man that we went and he prayed over us and thanked God for these men of God being in the church and had us back to eat the rest of the food? You mean that man is the devil? He said, oh, yeah, he's out to destroy me. It takes a devil to do that. He was a shouter. Man, I wish I had a Jubilee message. Folks, I'm telling you this where we're living. I believe this. I don't have no scripts for this. But if I go by the Bible said it's going to wax worse and worse. It's deceiving and being deceived. Is that not what it says? Amen and amen. I'm just simply saying, hey, it takes a devil to do that. That's the betrayed. How about the betrayer? I want to say to the betrayer, you have been detected. The man in our church, he got caught. I'm out there working on my porch. And the man in my church that went with the woman, her aunt drove up in my yard while I'm painting my porch and handed me a stack of papers and said, these are the text messages from a man in your church to my niece. And I looked at him. And I mean, she was irate. She's a lost. And handed me them papers. And I'm standing there with them papers about a man in my church that's texting this girl. And she said, while I'm handing you this preaching, I mean, she was hollering and screaming. She said, it's still running off at the house. More to come, more to come. I'm telling you, our church, and just like your church, we preach. We preach against sin. I don't care. Jesus, there's not a more perfect preacher than Jesus. I mean, he nailed sin. But yet, it was still in his church. You're not going to get by with it. When the man of God gets up and says, there's danger in the church, you better put up your spiritual antennas. He ain't just telling you that to waste time. Amen and amen. Jesus said, I want to tell you, there's some danger in the church. And I'll reveal it to you later. I don't think he could have revealed it then. They wouldn't have believed it. Hey, can I say to you that are, you that's done wrong, you're detected and you're going to be destroyed. The secret's out. I want to tell you how I know the secret's out. Turn to John 13, I'm through. Turn to John 13. Look at John 13. John 13 and verse number 27. Now, verse number 25, verse 26, Jesus then said, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now, I got to back up a little bit. Verse 24, Simon Peter therefore beckoned unto him that he should ask who it should be whom he spake. And he lying on Jesus' breast said unto him, Lord, who is it? And then he tells John, the man to whom I had the sop. So now the secret's out. John knows now. And I'm telling you what, if one person ever gets the secret, it's over. Buddy, I'm going to tell you, besides the person who did it, if it ever gets to another person, it's out on you. I told this individual in my church, did you not have enough sense to know what you did wasn't going to get out? Let me tell you, when you sin, you can mark it down. You can mark it down. When you sin, it's going to get out. You are not, be sure, your sin will find you out. If you're playing with that internet with pornography, I'm telling you, it's only a matter of time. It's going to be out on you. I'm telling you, Brother Barry, I'm telling you where we're getting, where we got to preach. We just may as well preach. Brother Robert, I'm just telling you. Crowd this size, I wouldn't doubt if somebody ain't messing with that internet and you're watching pornography. It's just a matter of time before you get caught. If you flirting with some woman down on the job, hello, Tokyo, or in the church, or wherever you are, if you flirting, it's going to get out on you. I saw a man in our church, used to be in our church. He's out of our church now. He says he's saved. I'll take his word for it. I have problems believing it. Amen. I don't try to assure nobody out of church they saved. Oh, are you listening? But I met him uptown. And you know in our town, we're in a small town, and this junk has got in our church. You know St. Stephen's is loving it. I told the individual, I said, you have given the enemies of God on occasion to blaspheme everything we've built up for 30 years. You've given the enemy of God occasion to blaspheme. Sin will tear your church up. That's why I preach on it. And even preaching on it, people are sin. It seems like every time I get in this meeting, I preach on that. I don't mean to, Brother Robert. I claim I got a sweet message. I brought a sweet message. But I pretty well knew when I come, the Lord done told me to preach this one. I wish you'd take it in the spirit of love. Do you like this place? Do you relish this place? Do you thank God for this place? I mean, this is a place of God. This is God's place. This is where people get saved and families get put together and children get kept pure. Hey, the devil wants to destroy. Amen and amen. I mean, I got up Sunday morning. Thank God we had a church full Sunday. That's big time for us. I run the devil at the church, I think. I got after the devil. Right there with all them visitors. I said, you sorry devil. I was running out, running into halls and all, getting the devil. He done stirred me up. He'll be back, though. Are y'all listening? Here's my point. Jesus handed him the sock. Now, that was a gesture of friendliness. You say, well, the preacher's still being friendly to me. Evidently, he don't know. Well, he knows. Jesus handed a sop to Judas, knowing he was the guilty party, and said, here you go, friend. And Judas probably thinking, well, he don't know. Well, he knew. Just because the preacher still sits around and talks with you and smiles at you, shakes your hand when he walks by, don't mean he don't know. Right. Amen. Amen. My point is simply this. Amen. My point is simply this. Hey, if you're guilty, you're going to get caught. Young person, I'm telling you tonight, you're going to get caught. It's just a matter of time. Well, mom and daddy don't know. They will know. I don't think I have to labor that point anymore. I'm just telling you, if you're in sin tonight, before you get caught, that would be real repentance. A lot of people won't get right after they're caught. Best time to get right before you get caught. There's an old-fashioned oil right there. If it ain't out, just go to the altar and tell the Lord about it and plead His blood and ask Him to forgive you. And hey, He'll take care of it. Hallelujah! That's all had to be done. That Jesus could have took care of it. But if you wait until it gets out, it's going to create problems in the church, in your family, in your life. You better take care of it now. If you want that, I got to hit that again. I'm going to hit it again. Because that seems to be the plague of our day. If you're watching it on the internet, you're going to get caught. If you're flirting around, you're going to get caught. Amen and amen. Hey, I wish you got it right. You never believed it. He couldn't tell them. They wouldn't have believed it. I'm through. I know you could get caught because Pharaoh got caught. You know Pharaoh drowned babies. You know how Pharaoh drowned it? You know Pharaoh drowned babies. You know how he died? He drowned it. And I'll tell you, the plan of redemption is going on. I told the church the other night, I said this and I'm through. Tired of talking about me. I hope I hadn't bored you. I told the church last night, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I ain't coming to church every time I come to church to talk about this rotten situation. I'm telling you about it tonight. I'm informing the church tonight. I'm going to preach on it tonight. And after this is through, I tell you, I'm going on for God. Amen. Amen. I'm just simply saying, hey, living with a secret. Are you living with one? Are you living with something you know that nobody else knows? I got a good word. I got a good news for you. If you're living with a secret, it is no secret what God can do. I was out there washing my car one day, Brother Raleigh. I was washing my car, and that old hymn, "It is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others." This ain't good as y'all, but I'm telling you, I'm trying now. "We'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do." I told the church the other night, this is trying to devastate us, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to kick the devil in the rear end and go on for God. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Roberts, you come. Let's stand on our feet. Amen. Won't you get some help tonight? Amen. Let the Lord help you. You've heard enough preaching today to get a lot of help. Get some help in the service tonight. Bow our heads, close our eyes. Preacher, you come if you would. Get the musicians to come. Amen. Let the Lord help you in the service tonight. All is open if you need to come. Pastor, you come.
While she plays, this altar's open. Some's already come. There may even be some here tonight who are lost without the Lord. You might be the secret. You might have a secret. You better come get that thing right before it gets exposed. So many times I've had my own Judas instead of on the 11. So many times I've been consumed by Judas. Won't you come? You better get that thing before the Lord. If there's some secret in your own life before it gets exposed. Almost been to the point because of my Judases that I just felt like quitting and walking away. And been times I've tried to warn, but you just can't tell it. Try to warn, but you just can't tell it. People would never believe you if you told them. Say that every pastor in this building would love for Brother Willis to go stand in their pulpit and let their people know that a lot of times the man of God knows things they don't know, has secrets that he just can't tell. Sometimes you just got to trust him. I've often thought about that watchman on the wall in the Old Testament. That man up on the wall, he can see things that people down in the city can't see. And he'll pick that trumpet up and blow it when he sees danger. But if those people in that city don't have any confidence in him, they won't prepare for the battle. If you don't have no confidence in the man of God, you're liable to be overtaken by the enemy, though he sounds the warning. Goodness, what a message. I just trust that we'll respond accordingly. Mind the Lord tonight. Know that, try to help him sing it. I'm not a singer and I don't hardly know the song. Yeah, help us, brother. Verse of that, I don't know. Bless the Lord. Play through another verse. Can you sing it, brother? Two different verses going. Determine one thing. A Jubilee message is a message from the Lord. And so we've had some Jubilee messages. You can't improve on what the Lord said and what He wants. And so I appreciate you men of God minding the Lord tonight. I want to say on behalf of Welcome Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us in this 2010 Preacher's Jubilee. I hope that you'll make plans to be with us again in the future. Pray for us through the course of the year. We love you. We thank God for you men and you ladies that stand by your husbands and you preachers' wives. We appreciate you as well. And thank you so much for taking time to be with us. I hope it's been a blessing and a help to you. The only thing I want to ask of you tonight.